Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
It's a real privilege to be with you, and it's a great honor to serve in some way in this church and to serve Pastor Bernie and Nan. This week I'm here, I came to really have a memorial for my mum. She passed away actually the same day that my daughter had her baby. There was 10 hours difference. But my mum was 95 and had lived a really good life. And so, when she died, I told the congregation, and one of the ladies came up and said to me, she said, "How come you're not sadder than you are?" And I said, "Because I know where she went. She's in a good place." And so there was no sadness. You'll miss, obviously. I'll miss her. But I said it at the memorial, and I just want to say it publicly here, that, your pastors were and are the most amazing, loving, giving people. The way they looked after my mum, especially Pastor Bernie, would go in and see her and give me reports back how she was doing. And so I'm forever grateful to you, Pastor Bernie. You really show tremendous pastoral and loving care. It's real. Your pastors are real people. And so I'm so thankful for that. So good to be back in Scotland again. This is a Scottish accent. Maybe you don't think it is, but... still got something there, which is good, but such a wonderful joy. We're going to change things around today in the spirit. We're going to turn situations around. If you've come and you want something turned around or changed around, then you've come to the right place today, because we're going to do that by the word of the Lord and by trusting in the Holy Spirit. So it's going to be a good morning for us. Amen. Amen. A tremendous morning. And I did struggle. Pastor Bernie said to me, "What are you going to speak on?" And I knew the subject, but I kind of struggled to find out what to say. I mean, I've got lots of notes and stuff, but I kind of struggled a little bit to communicate exactly what I wanted to say. So I'm just trusting God that what I've got for you is going to be really good. And I want to talk this morning about what I believe the church is moving into. I believe with all my heart, and I preach this wherever I go, that the church is moving into an incredible place of the release of God's love and the release of God's power. The devil always gives everything away. If we look to what was happening in the world, where we get insight into the next move of God in the church, and what's happening in the world is terrorism and horror and death and destruction. And so, what's going to happen in the church is the very opposite to that. We're going to see an incredible outpouring of God's power, an incredible outpouring of God's love, an incredible outpouring of God's glory, an incredible upsurge. Everything that we've dreamed possible, everything we've read about in this book, we're actually going to see. And guess what? You're the candidates, I believe, through which God is going to do that. Does that make anybody remotely excited here? I mean, just excite yourself a little bit. That you could be that person. I always believe that this generation, not another generation, but this generation is a generation that God is going to use. I believe that with all my heart. I've always believed that we are the generation. And when you see the signs and you see everything that's going on, then we potentially are going to be the last generation. Who knows? You might go away and say, "Well, that guy was talking about, he was saying we are the last generation. How does he know?" I don't know. But we've got to have people who dare believe that we could be the last generation, that we could be the ones. Why should we leave it for another generation? That's one thing we can be selfish about, is God, use me. Let me be part of the end time move of God. Let me be part of everything that we've read about in this book. Everything that you've said in this book, let me be part of that. Let me be the ones who lays hands on the sick and see them recover. Let me be the one who speaks life. Let me be the one who's a great evangelist. Use me, God. I want to be used in these times. And so what I want to speak to you about is it came up in my spirit some time ago, but part of the foundation, I think, for this next move of God is a church that understands rest. And so The title of this sermon, I guess, is The Emergence of the Church at Rest. The Emergence of the Church at Rest. There's got to be a restful church that is not a relaxed church. A peaceful church is not a church that's actually relaxed. It's a church who knows exactly who's in control. Oh, hallelujah. And knows exactly where they're going. Let me read this to you just as an introduction quickly. It says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes," that's in a consistent way, "to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." It says in another translation, "Anyone who wants to approach God must believe that he exists and he cares enough to respond to those who seek him." What that means is this, is when you and I go and we seek God, that God cares enough about us to do something about the condition that you're in. We don't just go to God and worship him because he's God and you're you. We go to God and we worship him with this incredible expectation that God is actually going to come and do something and change your circumstances. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And embedded in that word means those who worship him, those who just love God. And God's reminding us, don't just come to me without expecting some kind of reward. Come to me with your worship. Come to me with your prayers and expect that I'm going to reward you. I'm going to do something about your circumstance. I'm going to do something about your situation because I love you. That's the kind of God that we're talking about. This is the kind of God. Listen, if you and I are going to be these mightily, powerfully used men and women of God, which I believe we're going to be, then there's got to be something that happens at a fundamental level in our lives. There's got to be transformation, change that takes place in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our circumstances. And I believe that's what God is saying right now. God is trying to do something at that level. God is trying to shake us up, as it were, and let us see the potential that there is in Christ. That you and I can have victories at an individual level, at a personal level, before we'll see this incredible move of God that's going to take place in the church, that's imminent in the church. And so there is something stirring. There is something going on right now in all of our hearts. We're feeling that God is up to something. We can't articulate it perhaps, but we know that God is up to something. There is something going on right now in your heart that God is drawing you up to another place. He's not content to let you stay where you are. God's saying there is something big on the horizon. There's an incredible outpouring of my spirit that's about to take place. So let's get working. Let's get things going. And I'm not talking about you and I having to just go and do more for God. I'm talking about you and I embracing God. Amen. Hallelujah. Embracing God. Getting into the face of God, as it were. Just loving God. And so this is where this peace is going to settle. And when you are peaceful, when you and I are at that place of peace, when we understand what it is to have that peace, it is a starting point for an incredible move of God's Spirit in your life. But you have to get that first. I've got to get that first. God will never use people powerfully who are still anxious about things, trivial things that's happening in their lives. We really have to get on top of our own personal lives. Don't you feel that? I mean, I want that to work for me. I want this stuff to work for my family before I go and try and change the world. I want to see this stuff work in small ways. In my finances, like Pastor Bernie was saying, I want to see this stuff work. God, show it to me. Let me see it. Equip me in a personal way, in a family way, before we go and change the world. So he talks here about this, and he's talking about faith. It's impossible to please God unless we have faith. But he's basically saying, if you believe, then what you're going to do is you're going to come to me, and you're going to expect that I'm going to reward you. What does that mean? It means that God is going to show you stuff. He's going to show you things that's going to help you make adjustments in your life that's going to bring victory. There's going to be reward. So we have to be reward conscious. A lot of Christians are not. A lot of Christians, when they worship God, when they pray, they're not reward conscious. And God wants the rewards to come to you first, before it flows through you. Some people get religious, man. They just say, oh, well, you know, isn't that being selfish? No, you and I have got to be strong first before we can touch anybody else. So this is a time when God is making the church strong through individuals who will dare believe the word of God, who will be bold and say, this word has got to work for me. We've been taught so much word, we've got to make it work. Amen. And so I want to talk about this peace that passes all understanding. Let me read this to you from Hebrews chapter 3. Do you want to turn there maybe with me? Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. If you know there, I'll go there myself. I'll walk alone this morning. Hebrews 3, it says in verse 16 to 19, for who having heard, believed, indeed, was it not all of those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? Now, I want you to take great note of that word enter. They would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so he's saying there, you know, there was a place for you. You could not enter in. You were in a state of anxiety. So you could not enter in to the place I had ordained for you. There's another place that God wants to take all of us, including me. There's another place. But in that place, we've got to deal with the stuff that's surrounding us right now. In other words, this principle is so powerful in Scripture that there's another dimension in God that he wants to take you to. But right now, we're confronted, all of us, with stuff. There is things that's come against us. And how we respond to that is going to determine whether we're going to enter into the promised land, as it were, or the next phase of ministry. I want you to get a revelation this morning that you and I live for the kingdom. We've got to get this mentality. God has created us for the kingdom. And we've got to know how to deal with stuff around us in our lives before we can enter into this new dimension, this exciting dimension of being powerfully used by Almighty God. What opportunities, what possibilities await this generation? Oh, if only we could deal with the stuff that surrounds us. And God was saying here, he says, you could not deal with the stuff that was around you. And yet, look what I had for you. I had a promised land for you. I had incredible stuff over there. But you didn't know how to deal with the stuff around you. And I've equipped you to be able to do that. And peace was a major part of that. You have to have peace. You have to know how to deal with the stuff that's around you. Now, I'm going to skip a lot of this. And I want to go quickly to Mark chapter 4. It's a famous portion of Scripture, Mark chapter 4. Let's go there together. Mark chapter 4. I think it's Mark 4. If it's not, someone can tell me just now. It's Mark chapter 4. What I'm trying to say to you is this. This is exciting, man. Don't you find this stuff exciting? Yes. A little more enthusiasm would be great. When I say stuff, I'm talking about the Bible. Do you think it's exciting? I mean, man, it's exciting, the potential that there is. And so all of this stuff has got to do with movement. All of this stuff has got to do with God building the kingdom. He's building the kingdom. There's incredible movement taking place. If you and I could only get insight into the perspective of the church from where God sits, there's incredible stuff going on. It's like dynamite ready to explode. And I'm telling you, man, I don't want some other generation to come along and say, we want that revelation. I want me and you and everybody I speak to get that revelation. That this is now the opportunity for you and I to move to a new level. Not somebody else. Because the same Bible that works for you and I now is going to work for that end time generation, whoever they may be. He's not going to change it to accommodate anything. He's basically looking for people who are saying, start where you are and change your circumstances right now. So it's all got to do with movement. It's all got to do with God moving the church forward. It's all got to do with expansion. It's all got to do with light and power and energy and end time church and glory and other stuff that we've read about. That's what it's about. And you are primed for that. So it's about movement. It's about, we're going somewhere, we're going to do something. And this is no greater exemplified in the time when Jesus was going to go somewhere. Say, go somewhere. You are going somewhere. You are going somewhere. Amen. Come on now. You're not stagnant. You're all going somewhere. I mean, if we're not going somewhere, what I mean is, if we're not going to go somewhere with Jesus and do something for Jesus, we might as well just give up and go to heaven. Amen. But when we get this mentality, we're going to go somewhere with God, then everything starts to change. And I'm going to show you how it changes. So when we get the story here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, it says, "In the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" Now, this is God talking, right? So he said to them, "Okay, boys, I got a story for you." What is it? "We're going to go over to the other side. We're going somewhere. We're moving somewhere. We're not going to just stand here. Although I'm God, it would be great if we just sat here and we all just come to church every week and everything's fine and we just sit where we are and we just expect God to do." Jesus says, no, boys, this is what I want to tell you. I have predetermined that I am going to go to the other side. In other words, I'm going somewhere, but I'm not going alone. You boys are going to come with me. We're going to the other side. And so they get on this boat, and this is when they had left the multitude they took along in the boat as he was. They took him along, and other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now remember who was in the boat. "But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and he said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" This is crazy, man. We've got God in the boat, and they say, "We're all going to die." Amen. Come on, man. This is crazy stuff. It's like, you know, I don't care if you're God, we're going under. You know, it's like, I mean, I don't care if I've got your presence on a Sunday and pastors doing all this. I don't care. When I get home on Monday, we're all going to die. Do you know what I mean? I mean, can you see this? It's like, you know, we can be in the Holy of Holies, and we can be praying, and we can be doing stuff. But I'm talking about outside of that. I'm talking about where life is. We often think, "I'm going to die, man. Because I don't care if God's with me or not. All those words that pastor taught me, all that prayer, all that worship, I'm going to die." They forget that he's saying, "I've raised you up to take you with me to the other side. You and I are going somewhere. We're going to do something together. I've raised you up for this. And this is what we're going to do." And so this is, we're going to die. No, we're going to die. And it says he was in a sound asleep. Teacher, and then verse 39, "And he arose and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, 'Peace still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" And so what happens is, we know the story. The storm comes. The storm is just a storm. It's just a storm. Things happen on the water. You know that in these stormy areas, you know, the wind comes up, you can have a storm. And so the storm has just been a storm. The wind has just been a wind. The wind is supposed to be a wind. It's just doing its stuff. The ocean is just doing its stuff. Amen. And so the scenario is this: the wind and the ocean, the waves, are basically neutral. They're just circumstances that exist. It just so happened that they're surrounding this boat, but they just exist. Amen. And from the wind's point of view and from the waves' point of view, this is what they're saying. They're saying, "We're going to continue to be waves. We're going to continue to be wind until somebody speaks." Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Nothing's going to change. There's nothing personal because I'm just wind. There's nothing personal because I'm just waves. But somebody has got to say something before we change. There will be no change until somebody says something. And so Jesus says, he says, "Peace, be still," and everything changed. Which means now that the external circumstances that surround you are waiting for you to speak. Amen. Your external circumstances have got ears to hear and a voice to obey. Hallelujah. But you've got to speak to them. Because remember, the big picture is we're going to the other side. Oh, hallelujah. So many Christians never fulfill their destiny because they will not speak to the current situation. And so they'll never fulfill what God has got for them. But peace is very powerful. It says that God will crush Satan under your feet shortly. God will crush Satan under your feet shortly. It's an interesting scripture. What it means is God says, I can do nothing unless I've got agreement with you. I'm looking for your agreement. What is that agreement? The words that you speak. Oh, hallelujah. Is this making any sense to anybody? Amen. We've got to speak and believe, expecting a reward. What is the reward? The circumstances are going to change. Oh, hallelujah. This peace is transferable. Jesus said to his disciples, carry neither bag, knapsack, sandals, greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter into, say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest in it. If not, it will return to you. And so it's shown us that peace is transferable. This is the protection factor. And I don't know how far we'll get in this morning, but there's always things that will try and steal your peace. Always things that will try and steal your testimony, steal your speaking. And so we've got to watch for who we hang around with. Because their unpeacefulness will affect you. Amen? You just got to cut off those ties. Look for peace in people. It's the greatest outward sign of faith. You know one of the greatest outward signs? You know, this is probably the greatest outward sign that you have any faith. There is no evidence in your life or my life that there's any faith operating, i.e. that you will get any results, unless you've got peace first. Amen? So in the spirit realm, the devil's always measuring stuff. The devil's always measuring where you're at, always. And so until you and I get peace regarding a situation, the devil will continue to batter away. Amen? But when you get that peace, what is that peace? It is that God loves me enough. He cares for me enough, like the one translation says, that he's going to reward me. Oh, hallelujah. Everything's gone crazy, but right now I have that peace. Thank you. I don't understand it. I don't know how God's going to do it. I've no idea how he's going to get me through this situation. I don't know how he's going to bring back that wayward child. I don't know how he's going to heal my mother or what it may be. I don't know. I don't know how he's going to do it. But right now, I've got a peace. Oh, hallelujah. Everything starts to change at that point. Everything starts to change at that point. Hallelujah. And worship will help you, your peace and joy to surface. What I'm going to do this morning is I want to give you a couple of practical things. I'm feeling tonight I may go another route. I'm not going to continue this, but I may go another route. There's been some things stirring in my spirit for tonight. You cannot afford to miss it tonight. But, you know, God is excited about his church, and God is very excited about you as an individual because he created you for this time. And here's why you need peace. Let's look at the big picture. The big picture is that God is building his kingdom through you. That's just the way it is. We often have this grandiose idea, God's just going to come and do stuff, but God actually does it through people. I want to read this to you because this is how God builds. Let me read this to you. It says here, 1 Kings 5, 1-5, Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent his disciples to Solomon because he heard that they'd anointed him king in the place of his father, for Hiram had always loved David. Then Solomon sent to Hiram saying, you know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which were fought against him on every side until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now, watch this now. Now watch this. This is important for you to get. It says, but now, this is verse 4, 1 Kings 5, you don't have to go there. Verse 4, but now the Lord, my God, has given me rest. Watch now. He's given me rest on every side. Oh, hallelujah. God has given me rest on every side, neither any adversary or evil occurrence. Amen. So when you go into that place of rest, that trust in God, when you get into that, demonic activity in and around you starts to cease. Not because you've bound the devil, it just automatically goes. It's such a powerful force. Peace is actually the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what peace actually is. Amen. He says, my God has given me rest on every side, neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, next verse, he says, and behold, I purpose to build a house. I purpose to build a house. So when he got that peace bit right, he could then build. I want to encourage you, dear friends, that the next phase of your life, that God is going to build something in and through you, is waiting for you to move into that state of peace. Hallelujah. God cannot build anything through you unless you have this peace. It's the foundation for growth. There's no demonic activity. It's just that place of rest. Thank you, Lord. Oh, and worship's a major, major part of that. Oh, thank you, Lord. I got the revelation just a few weeks ago. Just came to me. I guess I've had it for a long time, but it was fresh. I love fresh things when God speaks to you fresh. And the Lord just said this to me. He says, Tom, I'm God. I know that. I'm God, he said. And he said, I want you to know that I'm in control of absolutely every detail of your life from beginning to end. I'm in control of every detail, everything that happens, everywhere you go, every person you meet. God is in control of all of that. Now, you may say, well, that's not a great revelation. It was for me, because when God spoke that to me, I thought, well, wait a minute, this is great. This means that if I trust God, if I continue to worship him and just love him and just trust him, that every single detail of my life until my dying breath, he's already got worked out. In other words, he's been to the other side. Come on, man. He's been to the other side and he's come back and he said, boys, Jesus knew where he was going. Yeah. Yeah. He knew, and he basically said, now, come on, join the journey with me. Say, all right, but God, I've got so much stuff, man, and look at this. And he says, you know, the journey that we want to make to the other side until we get to the end of the race is a journey that you've got to be peaceful in, because I cannot hang with you if you're not going to be at peace. I cannot be with you if you're anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Requests be made known to God. Requests, ask him for stuff. God, this is a request. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. A lot of the problems Christianity has is because we've never asked God for requests. We've never requested God for stuff. And so we struggle through life. So God wants to do something powerfully through you. I want you to get that this morning. You are highly significant in God. You are precious in God. But number two, it is the atmosphere of rest where God lives. It says in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 2, then King David rose to his feet and said, hear me, brethren and my people. I had it on my heart to build a house of rest. He called it Tabernacle of David. He called it a house of rest or a house of peace. It's a place where God just says, whoa, I'm comfortable here. I'm feeling comfortable, Tom. You know, you're dealing with this stuff. You might not be through it. But right now, I'm feeling very comfortable in this peaceful atmosphere that you have set, because you simply trust me. Because you're speaking to things. You're speaking to things. You're speaking to things. And God says, I'm attracted to that. This is my words. In fact, the whole Bible is a Bible of peace. The words are peace. It's peace put together in words. So when you speak those words, God says, I'm feeling comfortable right now in those words. I'm feeling comfortable in that environment of you speaking my words. I'm attracted to that. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So it's the atmosphere where God lives. So number one, we saw it's the atmosphere where God builds. Number two, it's the atmosphere where God can fellowship with you. That is important. Hallelujah. A lot of Christians don't have fellowship with God. They go to church every week, but they're still anxious. You know what I'm saying? They go to church every week, go home. I know there's nobody in this church, but there might be in other churches. They go home and nothing's actually changed because the situation that surrounds them, they still haven't dealt with. And so nothing actually changes. God is drawn to the peace that you have. It's the atmosphere where faith is released. Asa was one of the kings, Judah, and he took down all the idols. And it's very interesting. It says, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. When they took away the idols, they started to prosper. What is an idol? An idol is anything you put before God. An idol is not speaking to circumstances, because then you think you can do it yourself or you don't need God to do it. That's like an idol. An idol is when, you know, you don't have time to go to church. Time is your idol. It won't bring you peace. You have golf on Sundays, so golf is your idol. Well, I love golf, Pastor. All right. Okay. That's fine. Nothing's going to change in your life. Children can become your idols. Dogs can become your idols. That wee Dougie years, man. Don't worry about it when you're sitting in church. Just feed it before you come and leave it. Forget about it. I'm being extreme. But you know what I'm talking about. Stuff. Sitting in church worrying about stuff. That's an idol. Biggest idol is money. Amen. Am I speaking to the right people this morning? I should have gone somewhere else. So peace is incredibly important. Peace removes jealousy, competition, and comparison. Rest in peace and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. You know, in church life, one of the things I've always watched for are people who are restless or people who don't have peace. They might even attend church every week, but there's just something there that is not quite right. They will bring turmoil into your life, destruction into your life. I've got a policy in my church. If you want to leave my church, come and tell me, and I'll pray you out. If you don't, you can leave without telling me, but I'm telling you, there won't be any peace wherever you're going. Amen? I've seen it 100 times. Not 100, but you know what I'm saying? Amen? In other words, you've got to leave peacefully before you enter peacefully. You cannot enter into the next promised land, the next place that God has got for you, unless you do things peacefully in the last place you were in. It just doesn't work. Amen. And I'll kind of close with this, and then I want to pray. I love this. It says, and you would be secure because there is hope. Yes, you would dig around and you would take your rest or your peace in safety. In other words, peace brings you protection. Hallelujah. It goes wherever fear is present. So we have to enter into that rest. And that's exactly what I believe the church has got a choice to make right now, that we've got to enter into this rest. It's not just going to happen for us. It is something that we've got to aggressively take. Amen. I mean, if we really want to go, and all of us, why do you come to church? You come to church because you love God. That's why you're here. But there's something more than just coming to church. There's something more than just, it's not enough in a church like this where you're taught the word of God. It's not enough where you just go to church like a lot of denominations. They just go to church, they're satisfied, they've done God's bit, they've done a bit for God, and they go home and that's it. This is not the kind of church that God is raising up right now. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying there is something much more that God is saying. And here's what it is. When you come to church and you start to get fed the word of God, you start to come under the anointing of the worship or whatever it may be, there is something bigger that is going on in your life. What it is, God is saying, there is potential here for this person to be used mightily by me. It goes beyond, way beyond, just going to church every week. Amen. And when you start to be open to that, do you know there's enough people in here to change Scotland? Amen. Or Germany, or whatever it may be. There's enough people here to do that. But we have to see that potential. I guess what I'm trying to say is we have to get that peace first in our own lives before we're going to start to see the bigger picture come into operation. You're all called to peace, and you're all called to ministry. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.